Time for us to talk Bruins. When we do that, we turn to our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, what's going on? How are we doing today?
Doing well, thank you. Little spring in the air here in New England. Beautiful weather, and if the temperatures weren't warm enough, just bask in the glow of that red hot Bruins team and the heat that they're putting off.
Yeah, they are. Just, you know, it's funny that we've had nothing to complain about with this team basically all year. You know, they lose two games in a row to some marginal teams at the very best, Detroit and Chicago. And they say, watch this, we're going to rattle off seven wins in a row. So really just another great response by the Bruins. And I thought this was probably perhaps, you know, their final statement weekend of the season, you know, having Tampa Bay and Carolina back-to-back. And, you know, yesterday's looking like a scheduled loss. They get out to a good start. They handle some adversity. They win in a shootout. I mean, is there anything this team can't do at this point? It just seems like every day, every game, you know, there's a new box that they are checking off and really making a statement that they are indeed the best team in hockey.
Yeah, and I thought this weekend was huge because this is a team that could easily just be slipping into cruise control and getting ready for the postseason. But, boy, arguably two of their best wins of the season against teams that have given them some challenges in the past, and particularly that win yesterday over Carolina. To get a win there, what does that mean to this team?
Oh, it's huge. You know, and you know, you spoke about it that this was a big weekend for them. I thought the Sunday game, you know, was huge because they haven't won in that building since 2019, and that was Game 4 at the Eastern Conference Finals. They had lost, I want to say, about seven games in a row, maybe even more if you include the playoffs, in that barn, and to do it was big, right? Now, to do it without Bergeron, Marchand, Hampus Lindholm, and Linus Ullmark was the backup that day, I think that's even bigger. You know, that is a shot of adrenaline. That's a shot of confidence to your team that, listen, if these teams were to play now in the playoffs, the Bruins have legitimate confidence that they can win in that building, and they can do it when their backs are against the wall, right? And that when maybe the situation isn't optimal for them. I think to win that game with the players they were missing and the way things unfolded, you know, blowing a 3-1 lead, but hanging in there, coming through with a big third period penalty kill, you know, I think you're going to need those kind of efforts to win in that barn, you know, come May. And so I think for that to happen yesterday, you know, that game meant something to Carolina in terms of they're still trying to they're figuring out what they are without Andrei Shevchenkov. So they wanted to continue their run of dominance against the Bruins, saying you still can't win here. But the Bruins pulled off a victory, and I think that was arguably their most important win of the season, just given the context of all of that.
And are we seeing that this Bruins team has maybe as much depth as anybody in the league?
I think so. You know, I think that, you know, when this lineup is fully healthy, not only do you have Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, one's an MVP player, MVP winner, but the other one scored 30-something goals last year. That's your third line, right, between Charlie Coyle. Or around Charlie Coyle, rather. And then on their back end, when they're fully healthy, it's Dmitry Orlov playing on your third pairing. And these guys can all move around. They can all bounce around and play left wing, right wing, you know, left D, right D. But I think what's incredible about it is that it's just an embarrassment of riches. It's depth that you've never had, you know, under this leadership, under this core. And I think it's what you need this time of year. You know, I go back to that Colorado team that won it all last year. They were extremely deep. You go back to Tampa, they had a terrific third line. You know, you need these kind of guys here to go on a deep run because you're going to need different heroes over the course of four rounds. And I think they have an absolute abundance of potential heroes. You know, forwards one through 14, and on the back end, defensemen 1-7. I think they have a lot of weapons, and that makes you really hard to beat, you know, four times in seven games, I would imagine.
Yeah, and Jeremy Swayman playing awfully well. Is he a number two, or is he more of a 1A heading to the postseason?
You know, it's interesting. You have 1As and you have 1Bs, and I think the Bruins may have two 1As. Honestly, the way these guys are playing right now, really playing well, you know, in terms of his tracking, his ability to fight through screens right now. That overtime save he made last night with about 0.1 second left on the clock. I don't know how he saw that. He had a moving screen in front of him. He snags it. A great glove save there. So I think that he's finding his game right now. Linus is still the guy, you know, just based on that's how they're going to begin the playoffs. Linus is going to get game one. But, you know, you look at this, Rich, they've done a goaltending rotation for about 20 games now. It's been back and forth, back and forth. You know, you haven't seen consecutive starts from a guy over a month now. And so I think that's interesting. You know, does that play out into the playoffs? I kind of have my doubts. It's just a little rare for teams to do that. But if there was one team that could do it, it's this year's Bruins team. You go back to January, you know, these guys are basically 1-2 in save percentage, goals against average, and the analytics indicate that they've been the best two goalies in the National Hockey League. So you might be able to get away with it if you want to, but all indications that Linus is going to be the game one starter, but Jeremy Swayman is not far behind at all.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown, a milestone goal for David Pastrnak, and I was shocked that it's been that long since the Bruins have had a 50-goal scorer.
Yeah, he's the first one since Cam Neely in 93-94. Really impressive to sort of watch him fight through some things this year. It's been interesting watching him kind of have to adapt from the power play. You know, he has such a terrific one-timer when it's working, but what's happened is that teams have keyed in on him as the lone shooting threat of that power play. You're watching teams focus in on him, stand right in front of him and say, you know, beat us with the shot. And so what you had to see from him yesterday to get that power play goal was there was movement. He couldn't be stationary. He had to start moving. And there, you know, when he starts moving, Pavel Zacha starts moving, and now they're getting a clean look and goal number 50. So a fantastic milestone for him. He probably would have hit it back in 2019-20 had it not been for the pandemic that paused and eventually canceled the regular season, but it's interesting right now. So he's at 291 career goals. He has an outside chance at hitting 300 for his career by the end of the regular season, for any of the hat trick in there or two between now and game 82, but it could happen. Also yesterday with the 50th goal, he now has 600 career points. He's the third fastest to that milestone. The only guys who did it faster, Ray Bourque and Bobby Orr. Pretty wow. Good company, I think, for David Pastrnak.
Yeah, absolutely. There, from your perspective, was the suspension of A.J. Greer justified?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, listen, he crossed the line. It happens. I have no problem with it. When I say that, he's an emotional player. He needs to play with that energy and that intensity to be effective. And I think at the very worst, and you don't want to make a habit out of this, but I think now players are going to be a little bit more reluctant to engage with him physically, knowing that they get popped for the most with a stick. That's not to say it's a great penalty. It was a 5-minute major. You know, it led to a goal against, I know. But the intimidation factor of this team, I think, can sometimes be a positive, right? So A.J. Greer is going to have to toe that line between being emotional and too emotional. Which is always a balance for players of his ilk. But I think that, you know, he learned his lesson, and now it's about finding other ways to be effective. But it's one of those suspensions and one of those plays that you kind of have to accept with players who play that way. You know, if they're not playing like that, they're not really effective. So I see the pluses and the minuses of the incident. A deserved suspension, but one that may get Greer some points in terms of the intimidation factor should he draw in the playoff.
Do the Bruins care at all about any of these records that they've got a chance to take down in the final nine games?
No, they don't. And they'll tell you that. I think there's a little bit of saying it'd be cool to do this, but not at the expense of your standards, of your health, how you feel about your game. You know, you want to just make sure that your game is in the right spot. And that doesn't always mean you're getting wins, right? That doesn't always mean that you're scoring goals. And so I think that's something that this team is going to prioritize. I think you're going to see a lot of resting down the stretch. There's a lot of 4 and 6s. There's weekend back-to-back, as we all know. So I think you're going to see, you know, listen, let me just put it this way. I think it'd be rare to see all of Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Lindholm, McAvoy, et cetera, all in the lineup together on the second leg of these back-to-backs, and they have a few of them coming up here. So they're going to prioritize health. I think once they clinch the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is around the corner, you're going to see that even take a forward. So they just want to be healthy and upright in come game one, because they've already dealt with enough injuries between Foligno, Hall, and now Derek Forbert as well. So they just want to feel good about their game and be upright.
I can't remember a season, and not just for the Bruins. I mean, you've got the Patriots unbeaten regular season, sure, and the Red Sox when they have their record-setting season, but it's hard to remember many seasons for Boston teams when so little went wrong over the course of the year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because this actually kind of does remind me a little bit of that 2018 Red Sox team, where they were just so good, right? And everyone knew they were so good. They had a franchise record for wins. And really, their big challenges, it felt like, came in the postseason. You know, when they took on the Astros, you kind of had this feeling of, well, if they get through these guys, they're probably going to win a championship. And that sure enough turned out to be the case. And I feel like it might be something similar here. I look at the Eastern Conference, and I mean this with no disrespect towards the Western Conference, but if the Bruins can get through Tampa and then get through Carolina or New Jersey or whoever, I feel like they'll be well-equipped to handle whatever awaits them in the Stanley Cup final. It's just, it feels like the East is an absolute, you know, warpath, and it feels like the Bruins have handled it really well along the way. So, you know, I think that it's kind of drawing some Red Sox similarities to me. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've been unbelievable from the jump, and I think what's funny is from the outside, people say, oh, everything's gone right. Everything's gone well. Think about if they had a power play that was working.
Right.
You know, these last 2 months, they might be even better. So they still have some things to fine tune, but this is as complete a team I think I've ever seen, you know, built in the modern day NHL.
And yet they had some challenges, some injuries, and other issues to overcome, and they have just dispatched with all those things pretty, what from the outside looks like a pretty easy process along the way.
Yeah, and you know what that is, honestly? That is the buy-in of this team from day one. They believe in the message. They believe in the changes that Jim Montgomery and assistant coach John Gruden wanted to make to this team, and they've bought it. I think believability goes a long way in this league. It's just when you have that full commitment from all 25 people, you know, your players, your coaches, your staff, I think it goes a long way. And I think a perfect example of that is when they lose Taylor Hall, when they lose Nick Foligno, John Gruden goes out and trades a first-round pick for Tyler Bertuzzi. That sent unbelievable energy throughout their locker room, saying, wow, they're putting it on us. They're saying that they believe in this room and that they believe that we can win a championship, and they are not going to take no for an answer. I think that sends positive shockwaves throughout that locker room. So there's a full buy-in across the board with this franchise right now.
Well, Ty, we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks. And I'm just looking ahead at the schedule. When we talk to you next time, they'll have two games left in the regular season, so we'll be right on the cusp of the real fun beginning with the NHL playoffs. So have a good couple of weeks, and we'll catch up with you then.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Thanks, Ty. Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Hub, with us here on Downtown for some great hockey talk.